do come before you this morning, and we bless the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We have come here to worship you, Lord. We have come here this morning to hear from you. We've come here today, Lord, to experience the presence of the living God. So, Lord, show yourself strong to us today. We lend our hearts, we give our hearts over to you in worship and in praise and honoring you as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. In Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship God this morning. And seeing as how last week we finished 2 Peter, I want us today to turn to chapter 12. If you will turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7, and then verse 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the tenth of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. To each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb without blemish, a male deer, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it." And verse 13, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Father, I thank you for your word. Yes. And Lord, I ask that your word will be very clear to us this morning. Father, your word is yea and amen. Your promises are amen. You, Lord, are the God of word. And it's imperative, Lord, that we understand that your word takes precedent over all. And we praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to share with you this morning what may seem to be a little controversial. Not that I'm opposed to do that from time to time. But we celebrated Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter or Resurrection Sunday last month. Amen?
Amen.
We had a good time. It was a blessing. But in all honesty, you cannot have those three celebrations without the Passover.
That's right.
Passover had not happened yet. The Passover was this past Monday. Monday, April 22nd was Passover, which means today is Resurrection Sunday.
It is.
Today is the biblical Easter.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, but we celebrated it last week, or last month.
Well, yeah, we did. But see, there's a big difference between the Gregorian calendar and the Jewish calendar. They don't coincide. Once in a while, they kind of do. You see, we work on a calendar that goes on 30 and 31 days a month, correct? But then we make it on February, where it's the 28 days, unless it's a leap year, then it's 29 days, and it gets so confusing. The Jewish calendar, it works on a 29-day breakdown. So it doesn't always coincide. We, the church, have been swayed by the Gregorian calendar and the ways of this world without even realizing it. Perhaps we need to realign ourselves, do you think? You know, I know that the Agape Christian Fellowship, where many of us came from, Kathy and I, and several of us left Agape to start this place, this church, in 1997. Man, was that a long time ago. But God, look what he's done in 20 years. And he's used a ragtag bunch of people to do it. You know? I marvels. It's such a clear demonstration of God's power and God's way of things. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Passover on the 10th day of Nisan. That's the first month of the Jewish calendar. God said, he is 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So the congregation of Israel is saying, speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. All right? I want to break this down. Why is it Easter and it wasn't last March? But if you really think about it, you remember how many times Easter never celebrated at the same time. I mean, sometimes Easter celebrated on Kathy's in Miami. And then next month it's in the middle of April or you know, it's all over the place. Even in the Gregorian calendar, it's all over the place. Who made themselves deemed themselves with the authority to say when Easter would be and when Good Friday would be and Palm Sunday and all of that? And by the way, even with Palm Sunday, see, we're still on. It's got to be on Sunday. It's got to be on Sundays, or once in a while we'll accept it on a Friday or Monday, Thursday, you know. But if Passover was last Monday, which it was, then that would be Palm Sunday. But we would actually should call it Palm Monday, because on Monday, you know. Confusing? Am I confusing you yet?
Yeah.
Am I good? I'm doing my job. Because it is confusing, and that's why we have to have a set of standards. And the standards we need is the standard of the Word of God, not what dictates. Passover begins on the 10th day of Nisan. So Passover, this is the month of Nisan in the Jewish calendar, and last Monday was the first day of Passover. Okay, we get that clear? You understand that? Monday, last Monday was Passover. It was this day that the Passover lamb is chosen. According to what it says here, what God said, told Moses to tell the congregation on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, every man shall take for himself a lamb. That is the day, the first day of Passover was when the lamb was chosen for the Passover sacrifice 4 days later. And that's where we get Good Friday. If Passover begins on Monday, Monday was the day that they selected him, then that means Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 14th day, was the day that the lamb was slain for the sacrifice in the temple. Okay? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is the 14th day. It is this day that Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The Passover, first day of Passover, the day that they would select the lamb. This is what was happening in the temple that day when Jesus came riding the donkey down in Jerusalem. This was the day that God the Father was presenting his son as the sacrificial lamb to the Sanhedrin, Israel. This is my sacrificial lamb for you. First day of Passover, the day the lamb is selected. They were selecting the lambs in the temple at the time, and here Jesus is being presented on the same day. You understand that? It's important to understand these things. It's why all of these timelines are put into the scriptures, for us to understand and for us to see it plainly, that what Jesus was doing, what God was doing, was fulfilling the word of God. This whole selection, this Passover, was instituted for the Jewish children able to be taken out of Egypt. God had already brought all these plagues in, and all these plagues disturbed Egypt, and even disturbed Pharaoh a couple of times. Said, "Get out of here," and then he changes his mind. "Get out," changes his mind. And then you tell, Moses and Aaron, "Get out of here, get out of my throne room, or I'm going to kill you. Get out of here." But then God, in his wisdom, brought the Passover. This was where true separation between the Gentile and the Jews was drawn on very clearly. And it was drawn very clearly because of a sacrificial lamb that gave up its life and gave up its blood to mark the people as God's chosen people. So the lamb was presented that day on the first day of Passover. I want you to turn with me. See, I need that drink of water because my tongue is starting to stick out. Roof of my mouth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Because this is really, really interesting. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 15. Now there were in the country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then he said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day," he's saying to you, "this day, the shepherds, to you this day." Of course, he's saying it to us as well. "This day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes," say swaddling clothes, "lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel. I have to throw this in. And there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is a very interesting piece of information I want to give you this morning. Those shepherds were not just your ordinary shepherds. Those shepherds were temple priests. We don't know that from the scriptures, but we do know it from a set of papers called the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a group of documents that recorded oral traditions that governed the Jewish people during the time of the Pharisees. So it was this group of paperwork, of documents called the Mishnah. Say Mishnah. That told us of this. In Mishnah, which was the dictations of Pharisees of the day, because the Pharisees were really big on taking the scriptures and adding to it. And they had these rules. See, shepherds were not allowed to be close to a civilization, close to a community. They had to be out in the wilderness. They were not allowed to be close. They had to be out in the wilderness. Why? Because sheep stink, shepherds stink, and that's just the way it was. That's what they determined. But these shepherds were of the fields surrounding Bethlehem. Now, the Mishnah records that the temple priests shepherded lambs being raised for the Passover sacrifice and other sacrifices done in the temple in Jerusalem. Bethlehem was between seven, eight miles away from Jerusalem and from the temple. There were temple priests that were monitoring these sheepfold around the fields of Bethlehem. And they were required to be in the fields around Bethlehem with the sheep. And then there was a tower that was in the fields where a priest would spend the night watching over the flocks. That's what the scripture says, that they were watching over the flocks by night. Well, that's where the chief shepherd, the priest, would be watching over the priests who are out with the flock. Now, another thing about that tower was at the bottom of the tower was a room, and it was called the birthing room. All right? And what happened is when a lamb was birthed, these temple priests, remember, they are responsible to make sure that these lambs, especially the male lambs, were without spot and without wrinkle. They were without blemish, you know, and so they would be birthed, and they would immediately wrap that lamb in a swaddling cloth in that room in the bottom of the tower until that lamb had gained strength from being first born. They're all wadded in all that. Make sure that they don't fall down and hurt themselves, and then there's a blemish. Now this lamb is useless, other than meat. But so they would wrap them in a swaddling clothes. It's that word swaddling important because they were priestly clothes. Now Jesus, the angel, revealed to the shepherds, these temple priests, that you will find that there is a Messiah that is born to you, and you will find him. This is what you will go to Bethlehem, and you will find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, same word, lying in a manger. I think that's pretty interesting. It captures my curiosity, you know, on how this all works. Conclusion here is that when the angels reveal himself to the temple priests, the shepherds out in the field, he proclaimed the Messiah. And he presented the Messiah to them. When Jesus came down on Palm Sunday or Monday, whatever it was, on the day of Passover, when he came down into Jerusalem, where God was presenting him to the priests, you know, as official lamb, that wasn't the first time. The first time was the day that Jesus was born. He was presented to the temple priests. People miss. I miss that. But you read it in the. And the Mishnah was very clear that it was temple priests that were the shepherds of that day around Jerusalem. And that those responsible for producing the lambs without blemish and without spot on temple for the sacrifice on Passover and other sacrifice days that they had. That was their responsibility. I think this is like really cool. I really love it. You know, I went to bed last night with this. I woke up this morning with this on mine. You know, this angel, and then a whole host of angels that came behind him and started praising God, and glory to God and God in the highest, peace and goodwill to man. Why? Because the peace of God was being presented that day, the first day of Jesus' life after birth. And he's presented. Now let's. Yeah, I don't even know where I am in my notes. What we call Palm Sunday, which is actually the first day of Passover, the day God presented Jesus as his sacrificial lamb, it was not the first time Jesus was presented to the temple priest. priests. That just boggles my mind. Now, look at Exodus, back in Exodus chapter 12. In verse 6. Now you shall keep until that's the Passover lamb. Keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the nation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. The blood was to be spread on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses. But if you look in verse 22 of the same chapter in Exodus, it says in verse 22, Moses said, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the doorpost with the blood that is in the basin." You were to strike it. It wasn't like you took the hyssop and dipped it in the blood and painted it on. It said you strike it. Why would God direct Moses to say that to the Israelites? Not just paint it. What's the difference? It's on there. I mean, no, you strike it. Why? Because it is an act of violence. It was laid on Jesus' 14th day. On what we call Good Friday. The day that Jesus was crucified. He was struck. And struck. And struck. And every time he was struck, there was an issue of blood that came out. When he was hit with the whip, his back was laid open and blood came out. When they jammed that crown of thorns down on his head, what happened? The blood would pour down over his face. When they took him and put him on the cross and they nailed him, blood came out of it. It was a violent act. It wasn't like what we see in Jesus hanging on a crucifix and people's crosses that they were. It was so violent. Isaiah says that he was not recognizable. They couldn't tell it was him. Because it couldn't. He was so marred. So when Moses was instructed by God, you tell them this. You strike it. Why? Because this is an act of violence. It is that violent act that causes the death to pass over you. And that spirit of death visited every household of Egypt, both Jew and Gentile, both Jew and Egyptians. That spirit of death did not miss one household. But when he saw the blood, he passed over that house. And that was a separation between the Jew and the Gentile. I'm so glad God has caused me to be able to be grafted into the vine. I'm no longer a Jew. I'm no longer a Gentile. I'm a Jew. I'm adopted into the family. Hallelujah. I may have a Gentile heritage, but I'm now by a new nature. Hallelujah. And why would you have that? Why did you have that? Anybody born a Jew? No. We're all Gentiles here. Who are here born again? Raise your hand. You know what that means? You're grafted into the vine. That means that you're now Jewish. Not by natural nature, but by adopted nature. I am adopted. I am grafted into the vine. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. So because of that, I stand with our Jewish brothers. What's going against Israel right now is an abomination. I will speak that out. It is an abomination. I give kudos to my brother Dave Berman, who is a pastor of Christian Life Fellowship over in he's a dear brother, and he's Jewish, and they had a big Palestinian rally in Keene, and you know what did Pastor David? He put his yarmulke on, he put his prayer shawl on, walked right down through the middle of that, singing praises to God in Hebrew. In Hebrew! That guy's got guts. Yeah, I want to call him, tell him, next time you do that, you let me know, I want to go with you. As a Gentile, I will join my arms with you and walk right through. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, man. God is so good. He is so good. So you strike the lentil and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Blood was spread in a striking fashion, like the two doorposts lentil. The night before Jesus. I'm going to back up on that. I want to read verse 13 again of Exodus 12. The blood shall be a sign for on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And a plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The night before Jesus was arrested and crucified, he ate the Passover Seder with his disciples. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14, when he had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With desire I have desire to eat over with you before I suffer. I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So Jesus ate the Passover Seder with his disciples before he was arrested and crucified. God gave us this awesome privilege to partake of communion. He used the ingredients found in the Passover Seder for the meal. He used unleavened bread, which is used when we serve communion here. Next week we'll be having communion. And he broke it. He gave thanks and broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He took that unleavened bread, broke it. That bread representing his body, and he broke it. That bread that we take in communion, that we take a wafer and we break it into small pieces, and I'll put it in the tray. And it symbolizes from that they all came one, maybe two crackers, you know, but we all are partaking of that one sheet together. Because there's enough of Jesus to go around for everybody. Hallelujah for that. But Jesus, he took that bread and he broke it. He says, this is broken piece, unleavened bread is broken for you. I am going to be broken for you because I love you so much. Then he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." He hadn't shed his blood yet. But the Passover Seder was a representative. Has anybody ever been to a full Passover dinner? We've had it here before with Mitch Foreman, who's come from Chosen People Ministries, and we got to have him back again. He's a hoot, yeah, and friend too. But he's done a wonderful job with that. You know, it's been three years since he's done that. Maybe I'll contact you and see about come for that. But Jesus took that and said, "This is the blood of my new covenant, shed for you." It's not just the blood that was on the cross, but it was the blood that actually even began the night before when he was arrested in the garden in prayer. And the scripture says that he was praying in such earnest that even his turned as if drops of blood. And they have shown medically that can happen. They'd be so bent on being, I don't want to say anxious, but heavy emotion. So strong emotion that the sweat turned to blood. Why? Why did that happen that day? It happened that night. When Jesus is sweating blood, he was agonizing, not over just what he was going to have to go through. Please listen to this. He was agonizing his body. Why he had to do this? Why he had to go through this? Why the Father has given him this responsibility to go through. Everything was headed his way. Jesus was not stupid. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew the extent of it. He knew the extent of the pain he was going to go through. He knew the extent of the shedding of his blood, what it was going to go through. He knew what was going to happen. Ripping his body apart with that Roman whip. And yet he chose to do it anyways. He chose to fulfill it for you. Why? Because of his love for you, the Father's love for you that was flowed through Jesus that comes to us. He agonized over that level of love. And the only way that he, being the representative of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, God in the flesh, to walk it out. Don't ever think that you aren't worth it. He went through that because you are worth it.
That's right.
You're not a nothing. You're not a nobody. Man, I know when I was all caught up in the whole addiction thing, I just felt like I was a nothing. I was just a nobody. It didn't matter. I could die now and it wouldn't make any difference in this world. And it may not have made much of a difference in this world, but it would make a big difference in the heart of God. Because he desires none to perish, but all come to repentance. Hallelujah. He broke that unleavened bread, and then he presented that cup. And Romans 5, verse 9 says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 in part says this, for indeed Christ, our pastor, was sacrificed for us. Jesus did it for you, for me. But remember, the full culmination of Passover. The Hebrew children were set free from tyranny. From the tyranny of Egypt, it began their journey to the promised land. Now, who here has been walking with the Lord for over 40 years? How many here for 30 years? 20 years? 10 years? 5 years? 1 year? Hallelujah. Let me tell you, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, your name got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you glad of that?
Yes.
Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You were set free. You were taken out of darkness and placed in his marvelous light. You are now do not have a destination of hell, but you have the destination of heaven. You are now walking in this walk, headed in a journey towards the Lord. All right? So when you got saved, that wasn't the end all.
No.
All right? Now you got to walk it out. And you're walking it out in this life. Praise God. The Hebrew children, when they were finally set free, when that spirit of death passed over them, and the spirit of death did not pass over Pharaoh's household. This was the kicker for Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought he was untouchable. But that spirit of death touched his firstborn son and killed him. And that is what finally got attention. They said, get out. And they left. But they didn't. Now totally free, and we are in the promised land. And they went through a journey, and that's a whole nother message, man. And that could be a whole series of messages of what they went through. But the point is they began a journey that day. When they left Egypt, they left rich. They were slaves. They were poor. They were destitute. And when they went out, the Egyptians just heaped treasures upon them. And you know something? When I got saved, God heaped treasures upon me. He gave me a reason to live. He gave me deliverance. Yeah. He gave me freedom. Hallelujah. He gave me His love. He gave me His presence in my life. He changed my direction. Yeah. I was free. I was rich. But now I'm on a journey. As the Hebrew children had now journeyed for 40 years. Actually, they didn't have to go for 40 years, but it was their own reason for that. And again, another message. But they were headed in. They had a journey, which we are on. Chapter 12, verse 21 through 23. Go back with me to there. I'll be finishing up here in a minute. Maybe. I'm going to read 21 through 23 again. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop dipped in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of this house until morning. For the Lord will pass through, strike the Egyptians, and when he sees blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not destroy or to come into yours to strike you. The lamb, the Passover lamb, was sacrificed on the same day Jesus was crucified. The Passover lamb was being sacrificed in the temple the same time Jesus was being sacrificed on the cross. What was happening on the hill called the skull, a place known as Golgotha, when Jesus was nailed on that cross and hanging up on that cross with that life-giving blood flowing out of him in the temple, of course, was the sacrifice happening at the same time. And then they took the blood of the sacrifice, the high priest, and brought it into the holies. What was he bringing it in for? But to pay the price for the sins of Israel and for himself. And I dare say it's very possible that high priest that day was in that temple when Jesus breathed his last and said it is finished, and that temple curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy was ripped from top to bottom. And it's very well possibly been that the high priest was in there at that time when that happened, bringing the blood of the sacrificial silver lamb, and now it was signifying God the Father ripping that curtain, saying, you don't have to debt anymore because my son has now paid the price for all mankind. My son, we don't need this separation anymore. There's no separating between you and God. You can have that relationship that only the high priest could have once a year into that most holy place. And now we can go into his presence anytime. Anytime. I wake up in the morning, I'm in the presence of God. Sometimes I kind of stumble around a little bit, you know. But he's there, you know, and he's kind of guiding me. I don't know. But, you know, but he's in our lives.
That's right.
If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then he has come into your life. You don't need a high priest to sacrifice once a year for your sins. Jesus just did it. Cross. That's why that curtain was 6 inches thick. And it was part of, get how 30 feet tall? It was ripped from top to bottom. No man could have done that. That was done by the Father himself. Resurrection Sunday, that's today. Today we celebrate all of that. We did it a month ago. Well, again, hallelujah. I am so glad today. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate that our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, came out of that grave. Hallelujah. It was day that the guards were there and the stone was rolled away and the angel sat on the stone and the women came and he said to them, "Why are you seeking the living from amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Hallelujah. And he proved the point that he is who he says he is. Through the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, there is no salvation. A lot of people say if there's no cross, there's no salvation. You've got to have the cross, yes. But you have the resurrection too. Because the resurrection proves the point of who Jesus is. He was a master over death. Which means he is over your death. He is the master over your choice as to where you will spend eternity. You see, Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't desire anybody to go to hell.
That's right.
We send ourselves. Mm-hmm. Even the scripture says that our own sin condemns us. He doesn't. Jesus said, "I did not come to condemn, but to save. I paid the price." That's what this whole thing about the Passover lamb is about. That Jesus paid the price for my salvation, for your salvation. Now, which do you choose? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. God. I serve the Lord, walk, stumble, and fall.
That's right.
Anybody else like that besides me? You walk, stumble, and fall. You mess up, you screw up, you ask for forgiveness, get your feet back underneath, you get going, you mess up, you screw up, you fall down, you cry out for forgiveness, and what's forgives you and loves you just the way you are.
Hallelujah.
So I'm gonna ask you, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, today's the day.
That's right.
Scripture is very clear. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.
Yes.
So I'm going to close with prayer. And if you want to pray with me, you're more than welcome to. I call it a prayer of salvation. Salvation is really anywhere it's in here, but it covers the bases. Father, I thank you. You can just pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the Passover lamb. I open my heart and I confess my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Pass over me. Thank you, Jesus. I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Receive me as your daughter or son. Thank you, Jesus. Write my name in that Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer first time, or maybe you prayed it to rededicate your life to the Lord, would you raise your hand? Let me know. No? Hallelujah. Those of you watching online, if you pray that prayer for the first time or rededicated your life to the Lord, you have a Bible, then at the end of the service, there will be a screen up. They'll have our phone number. Call us, and give us who you are, and we'll say, let's stand. If anybody needs prayer, please feel free to come up. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That he'll give you the peace that only he can give you.
Right.
There are those who search for peace and tranquility in so many ways.
Yes.
but bypass the Lord, who is the author of peace. You can't find that peace in yoga.
No, you can't.
You can't find that peace in just athletics. You can't find that peace in being brilliant and smart. You find that peace through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's why the Lord bless you and keep. The Lord make his face shine upon
yes.
you, be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. If anybody needs prayer, come on.